Today, the Empire Strikes Back on the future use of cash. Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news. Despite all of the hype from the banks, as of August 2025, the total value of Australian banknotes in circulation was a record $104.094 billion worth. That's the first time in history that the $104 billion mark was eclipsed in Australia. This reflects a recent surge in cash usage, with strong withdrawals and a record amount of notes on issue, indicating Australians are returning to cash. This figure includes the value of both notes and coins in circulation. The RBA reported that there were strong cash withdrawals and the value of notes on issue has been booming. So this means that Australians have been increasing their use of cash, a trend that accelerated during the COVID-19 pandemic and continues to be strong. So you could certainly claim that Australians are turning back to cash and that the RBA data is clear. Cash withdrawals are strong and the value of notes on issue is booming. Now, this despite the fact that Australia lost 926 ATMs in total over the financial year to June 2024 and 8,326 in the last 7 years, and banks have removed 217 bank-owned ATMs in the last 12 months and a staggering 8,338 bank-owned ATMs in 7 years. And of course, they've been closing branches left, right and centre too, making access to cash even more difficult. Despite this, the RBA reported that ATM cash withdrawals were up, and last year 70% of Aussies carried cash every day, and 1.5 million Australians rely on cash for their daily purchases. They went on to say, maintaining adequate access to cash in Australia is important, as cash is relied on by a significant number of Australians to make their everyday payments and participate in the economy. Cash is also widely held as a store of wealth and plays a role as a backup to electronic payments. Choice reported that 80% of Australians use cash and 97% support a cash mandate. So the question is the battle for cash really over? Is the future secure? No, unfortunately not. The banks are still trying to claim that everyone is now using digital, and despite the recent AWS problems, the latest, by the way, in a series of technology problems that we've seen in the banking system, including those at Westpac and CommBank. They've had issues with their online systems. In the latest developments, the government appears to have caved in to the pressure about the future of cash, though, despite their earlier statements that they wanted to preserve access to cash. Earlier in the year, there was a consultation from Treasury about their proposals. I made a show at the time, back in January, titled, "Are We in the Midst of a Cash Long Kong?" Well, their proposals superficially sounded okay. As the paper at the time said, cash acceptance refers to the practice of businesses accepting cash as a form of payment for goods and services, and cash acceptance levels must remain sufficient to enable consumers, including those unable to use digital payment methods, to participate in the economy. But Dale Webster at the time at the regional did sterling work on the proposals and highlighted that any retailer who can claim not to be selling an essential good or service is open to go cashless under those proposals. The proposed legislation in its current form has the potential to cause more harm than good, accelerating the decline in cash acceptance by giving almost all businesses in Australia an easy way out as they face the challenges of managing cash, as cash access is allowed to decline, Dale said, which was spot on. The list of essential and non-essential items that they proposed was confusing, contradictory, and will lead to disputes at shop counters. A qualified mandate undermines the basic principle that cash is legal tender, said Dale. The administration of such a convoluted and sometimes nonsensical list, like children's clothes are essential but not adults, will act as a further disincentive to cash use. But my suspicion at the time, which has been confirmed, was that this was more political than anything else, because the government knew that cash availability was a big issue and it can't be avoided. So the Treasury paper allowed this issue to flow on beyond the last election. And meanwhile, the neoliberals, who are in the pockets of the big banks, of course, still want to take our rights to use cash away. So on one hand, they appeared to be taking the right for cash seriously prior to the election, but they also could continue to assume and assure the banks that they support them. It's a classic yes minister long con. And I said at the time, we could break that by making sure we provide responses to Treasury along the lines of, first, there should be no carve out for essential services, which is difficult to try to define, and all businesses should be required to accept legal tender in the form of cash. It was a simple antidote to that long con. For this cash mandate to work effectively, all retailers must accept physical cash, said Jason Bryce, the founder of Cash Welcome Campaign, and a petition of over 200,000 signatures. Governments and corporates must lead the way in accepting and supporting our legal tender, he said. All retailers, not just those with shops selling so-called essential items, must accept cash to support the cash system. A mandate that applies only to essentials will herald the dawn of the cashless society, he said. But now we know that whilst there were more than 4,000 submissions to Chalmers cash mandate consultation, he's only released 52 to the media and the public before putting out draft legislation that still contains the contentious small business exemptions. So the question posed by Dale is, of course, is the debate being censored by the government? Well, of course, my answer is yes, it is. My own submission has gone MIA. Worse, in the latest iteration, the cash mandate has been narrowed even further to just supermarkets and servos and only up to $500. So it does not apply to pharmacies, as previously promised, and does not apply to essentials. It says supermarkets must have at least one terminal accepting cash and does not apply to a supermarket retailer that is only a small business entity. Referring to the submissions received but not published, they claim a mandate for this watering down of supporting the use of cash, but clearly they are gaslighting us on this so-called mandate. The selective release of submissions underscores this. Daniel Molina's statement from the 17th of October claims the regulations will help to ensure Australians won't be left behind for groceries and fuel purchases as many businesses move to cashless payment. We are also including appropriate exemptions for small businesses, he said, which find it harder to deal with cash. We recognise that Australians are increasingly using digital payment methods, but there will be an ongoing place for cash in our society under the Albanese government. These draft regulations are informed by public consultation earlier in the year. Well, yeah, but they only published 52. So they will prescribe cash acceptance for fuel and grocery retailers via mandatory industry codes of conduct, limit the mandate to in-person transactions of $500 or less, and exempt small businesses with aggregate turnover of under $10 million, or if the business is part of a franchise arrangement, the franchise arrangement's turnover is under $10 million. The mandate will apply to fuel and grocery retailers, as this will best meet consumer expectations to be able to pay for essential goods in cash while minimising the costs and risk to businesses. They removed, of course, the idea of essential services altogether, but only by narrowing the scope just a few outlets. This is, frankly, madness. He claims that it's balanced, practical, and it's a sensible step to support cash users and give consideration to businesses. And importantly, consumers already have the option to pay their bills, including utilities, phone bills, and council rates, in cash at the local Australia Post outlet through Post Bill Pay on the current terms of this service, he said. But of course, Australia Post is now closing those branches too. So that's really another bit of gaslighting going on. Bill Pay is available at post offices across Australia, he said, and is relied on by businesses and government agencies, including utility providers and government entities across state, local and Commonwealth levels. So why are they closing them? And by the way, the government's going to review this mandate after 3 years to ensure that its function is intended where it matters most. So this review will consider whether the mandate should be expanded, its impact on businesses and the developments in cash distribution access, i.e. how much more has gone digital by then. He went on to say that the Council of Financial Regulation and the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission released a consultation paper in July with a series of proposals on regulating cash distribution. That's still, of course, a bigger contentious issue. The government now has invited submissions on this exposure draft, with consultations closing, wait for it, on the 31st of October 2025. This is only a couple of weeks away, so it's clear that they're not serious in their endeavours, and their so-called balanced approach is biased against cash and is closer to the finance sector position than that of ordinary Australians, who, of course, still want to and need to use cash. So, I'm afraid it's time to make another submission to Treasury, underscoring that their proposals are too narrow to be effective, that there should be no carve-out of essential services, which is difficult to try to define, but all businesses should still be required to accept legal tender in the form of cash. That, of course, is the simple antidote to this long con. As Jason Bryce says, for this cash mandate to work, effectively all retailers must accept physical cash. Without this, the empire not only strikes back, but wins, essentially shutting us into a digital-only controlled future. So, we need to fly those X-wings again. Get your submission in. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.